find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court shifts from conservative to liberal once Janet Protasiewicz is sworn in tomorrow. But one justice says people shouldn't make assumptions about how the court may change. Brian Hagedorn was on WISN-TV's Upfront program this weekend.
I get there's a lot of political noise and a lot of people want what they want out of the court. But I think it's incumbent upon us to show that we are going to, you know, act like a court and not just do whatever the political chatterers want on either side.
The court is expected to take up abortion, political maps, and voting rules in the coming months. Wisconsin's childcare industry could be in big trouble if policymakers don't do something this year. Terry Bell with more.
The Child Care Accounts Subsidy Program is funded with federal COVID relief money that will run out in January. The state sends $10 million a month to the program, which helps keep teachers' pay a little higher and tuition a little lower. But Governor Evers says the industry and working families need more than what Republicans have been offering.
The only thing I've seen so far is they're willing to remove taxes from diapers.
Republicans, meanwhile, have formed a working group to develop bills to address child care. And Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is suggesting tax breaks to businesses that pay for their employees' child care. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
On the final days of EAA in the Fox Valley, several crashes led to fatalities. Pete Schwaba reports.
Closing weekend at this year's EAA Air Venture saw two fatal crashes. On Saturday, four people died in two separate incidents. In the morning around 9 a.m., a plane crashed into Lake Winnebago, taking the lives of both passengers, 20-year-old Zach Calamarino and 30-year-old Devin Riley. Then about 12:30 p.m. on EAA grounds, a mid-air crash involving a helicopter and a gyrocopter left two more dead and two hospitalized. The victims, 69-year-old pilot Mark Peterson and passenger 72-year-old Thomas Voles, were both in the helicopter. EAA spokesman Dick Napinski says the National Transportation Safety Board will investigate both crashes. Pete Schwaba, Civic Media News.
Foxconn is continuing to use its southeastern Wisconsin plant to contribute to renewable energy efforts in manufacturing. Workers at the Mount Pleasant plant have been manufacturing microinverters for a California-based company, Enphase Energy. The subcontract did not create any additional jobs, according to Foxconn Technology Group, but hundreds of workers contributed to the contract. Microinverters are used in solar energy projects. More federal dollars are being spent with Wisconsin small businesses. For the second consecutive year, small businesses received more than $1 billion in federal contracts. In all of 2022, the federal government spent around $6 billion on federal contracts in the state. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For 105.7 WCFW and the TAP FM 93.5, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. No one is hurt after a house fire in Chippewa Falls on Saturday. The Chippewa Falls Fire Department said that a cat and a dog were rescued from the fire, but no people were hurt. The fire caused about $75,000 in damage and likely started in the kitchen, with fire damage kept to the first floor of the home on the 800 block of Dover Street. The fire department said that the fire is under investigation. One person is dead after a crash in Rusk County on Friday. The sheriff's office said the crash happened on Highway 40 near Hutchinson Road in the town of Big Bend, or about 6 miles southwest of Bruce. The crash involved a pickup truck and a semi-truck, with the pickup truck driver found dead at the scene. The semi-truck driver was treated for injuries and released. The crash is being investigated. The National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says today will be pleasant, with temperatures getting to around 80 degrees. We'll warm up by midweek when storm chances return. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Brewers get swept in Atlanta. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers battled the Braves last weekend in Milwaukee, but it was a different story over the weekend at Truist Park in Cumberland, Georgia. The final yesterday, 8-6, in favor of the Braves. The Brewers took the lead in the top of the third when first baseman Carlos Santana, acquired in a trade over the weekend with the Pirates, went deep to right field. Jeff Levering on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Drives this one near the line. Gone for Santana. 13th of the year for Santana. His first hit as a Brewer is a bomb.
That made it 3-2. But the Braves' Matt Olson drove in five runs, hit two homers, and that completed the sweep. Christian Yelich spoke with reporters after the loss.
You know it's going to be a back-and-forth game. We're going to have to score and play these guys. So it's not really anything that's unexpected, but they're dangerous throughout their whole lineup. And tough 3 days, but
think you'll see these guys again?
Hopefully.
Milwaukee's pitchers have been solid this summer, but gave up 29 runs to the Braves in three games. Craig Counsell.
We don't have off days coming up. We have off days in the month of August, so all that's going to factor into some starting pitcher decisions.
The Brewers have placed Julio Teheran on the 15-day IL with a hip injury. They expect Wade Miley back this Wednesday. The road trip continues tonight in Washington against the Nationals. The Reds shut out the Dodgers in L.A. 9-0 to take a half-game lead back in the NL Central. The Cubs' 8-game winning streak was snapped with a 3-0 loss in St. Louis. NFL, Jonathan Taylor says he wants the Colts to trade him. Packers quarterback Jordan Love was on the NFL Network.
Being a Green Bay Packer, there's always very high expectations. We have a young team, but I look at it as a fresh start.
And after three seasons, the Packers released linebacker Jonathan Garvin, even though about 3 hours before, the team's social media department had wished Garvin a happy birthday. On Twitter, Matt LaFleur.
I understand the timing wasn't great in terms of it being his birthday, but you guys know this business never stops.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike.
Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on a Monday morning. It's the last day of the month, July 31st. Hope you had a great weekend. And it should be a nice day today. We're talking sunshine, blue skies, lower humidity compared to what we've had. Sunshine forecast for everywhere in western Wisconsin with highs in the low 80s. Expecting 81 degrees in Amory, 82 today in Hayward and Eau Claire, and La Crosse as well. I guess actually Eau Claire is saying they might get up to 83 degrees today, but pretty cool and comfortable compared to some of the heat that we've been experiencing, the heat and humidity so far this summer. And if you are a baseball fan, you probably know what happened to the Brewers over the weekend. Nothing good, that's for sure. They're probably happy to be getting out of Atlanta, moving on to Washington, D.C. Brewers got swept by the Braves, and they will start a 3-game series tonight against the Nationals in the nation's capital, and they are sitting at a half game behind the Reds now in the National League Central. Got some headlines here for you. What is going on today? Let me tell you, former Governor Scott Walker is making $800,000 a year trying to get young Americans to vote for Republicans, but his efforts do not seem to be working. Also, after Republican lawmakers removed funding for Wisconsin's agricultural training program from Governor Evers' budget, a new bill would save the 137-year-old program. And should candidates for Wisconsin's Supreme Court and other judicial positions be required to disavow false or misleading claims? Also, a story about elephants in the news today. Elephants have been in Baraboo, Wisconsin, ever since the Ringling Brothers arrived in the year 1888. But they're leaving in just a few weeks, and they won't be back. We'll get to those stories as the show goes on, 8:09 and a half right now. And let me get to this first story about our former governor. This is a piece from Daniel Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
And Bice's headline today says, Scott Walker makes $800,000 molding young conservatives while liberal student voting surges. And it says here that former Governor Scott Walker should be living the dream. The group he leads, Young America's Foundation, will be front and center as one of the sponsors of the upcoming Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee on August 23rd. Here's a quote from Walker. This is a message that he tweeted in April. He said, this is a great time to introduce more young Americans to the value of freedom and opportunity for all. Well, according to Bice here, what's more, the Wisconsin Republican, Scott Walker, made nearly $800,000 in 2021, the most recent year for which figures are available, as president of the $39 million nonprofit aimed at convincing young voters to adopt conservative views. Walker, who ran for office in a 1998 Saturn with a brown bag lunch, now owns a $700,000 house in Lake Country and a condo in Reston, Virginia. But Walker sounds extremely frustrated. Young voters, the target of his group's efforts, came out in droves for liberal candidates in the midterm elections, helping Democrats keep control of the United States Senate and returning Democratic Governor Tony Evers for a second term. Then in April, college students showed up to the polls again in big numbers to back liberal Supreme Court candidate Janet Protasiewicz, who eased past conservative candidate Dan Kelly. In short order, Republicans began clamoring to raise the minimum age for voting from 18 to 21. If those young people aren't going to vote for our guys, let's not even allow them to vote, right? Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy has even proposed raising the voting age to 25, unless someone served in the military or had passed a test. What kind of test would that be? A test to see how conservative they are? And Daniel Bice goes on and says, amid all this, Walker tweeted in January, quote, the voting age should be the same as the drinking age, which, as you know, is currently 21 years old. Many took Walker's post to mean he wanted to raise the voting age to 21, something that would require a constitutional amendment and would bump millions of people off the voter rolls. United States Representative Richie Torres, a New York Democrat, responded saying, you should be able to vote for the commander-in-chief who can send you to war. Scott Walker advocates for flagrant suppression of young voters, wrote Crooks and Liars, a liberal news blog. And they went on and said, can you tell that Republicans aren't polling well with young voters? In response, our former governor, Scott Walker, tweeted, 18, 19, or 21. Whatever it is, the age should be consistent for both, certainly not younger, end quote. Still not sure what he meant. I asked him via direct message on Twitter to clarify. This is Daniel Bice talking. He said his tweet was actually more about changing the drinking age. Quote, everything should be the same once you're an adult. If you can go to war and vote, you should be able to drink too, Walker responded. 18 for all of it. Bice says, gotcha. Of course, in 1987, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the federal government's power to withhold 10% of highway construction funds from states that refuse to raise their minimum drinking age to 21. Beyond that, it looks like Wisconsin Republican lawmakers still proposed lowering it to 18 in 1995 and then to 19 in 2017. Walker didn't sign on to those proposals. The former two-term government acknowledged that. And here's a quote. He said, just thought of it over the past few years. Higher age at 21 hasn't stopped binge drinking on campus. Some might argue it pushed it. And Daniel Bice goes on and says, okay, but some aren't buying it. Joe Oslin, spokesman for the state Democratic Party, said it is clear what Walker meant with his original tweet, quote, regardless of whatever cleanup he may be trying to do after the fact, we made a decision in this country that if you were old enough to fight, you were old enough to vote. That's why the voting age is 18. It's a shame Scott Walker doesn't seem to respect that, end quote. After Protasiewicz's victory in April, Walker made it clear he is primarily concerned about the youth vote. Indeed, Walker blamed young voters for the election results, suggesting they can't think for themselves because they are so indoctrinated. That's right. Scott Walker is saying that young people between 18 and 21 allowed Janet Protasiewicz to get in there and said that they can't think for themselves because they are so indoctrinated. He made the point on Fox News and then again on Twitter. And here's what he said on Twitter. He said, young voters are the issue. It comes from years of radical indoctrination on campus, in school, with social media, and throughout culture. We have to counter it, or conservatives will never win battleground states again. So if Republicans lose elections, it's because of radical indoctrination. And Daniel Bice goes on and says, dozens of Democratic politicians and others rejected Scott Walker's analysis. They suggested that Republicans were not offering policy proposals that appeal to young voters on gun control, abortion rights, climate change, environmental issues, and protecting democracy. Quote, it can't be that they hate your policies. No, it has to be indoctrination, tweeted Washington, D.C. attorney Bradley P. Moss, sarcastically, of course. Brianna Kurth, former program director for the liberal advocacy group Project 72 Wisconsin, said conservative groups aren't reconsidering their policy positions, but are instead blaming universities and taking action to make it harder for students to vote, something that drives even more of them to the polls. Her group promoted liberal issues on college campuses in the Protasiewicz race. In addition, conservatives are pouring millions of dollars into organizations like Scott Walker's, the youth organization that he runs, and they're paying Scott Walker big bucks in hopes that they can turn the youth vote around, said Kurth, who is 25 years old, which is all fine with her. Let the Gen X ex-governor figure out how to win over the youngsters from Gen Z. Here's a quote. She said, as far as I'm concerned, they should keep paying Scott Walker all that money. They should keep paying Scott Walker all that money. We seem to be doing better with young people, with him leading the charge for conservatives on youth. We just keep winning, end quote. Piece from Daniel Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's 8:18 right now. Going to take a quick break. Stick around. If you have an opinion on that, feel free to give us a call. The phone number is 715-388-7155. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say. You are tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for sunshine and a high near 83. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 59. Mostly sunny with a high of 86 on Tuesday. For Tuesday night, slight chance of a shower, otherwise mostly cloudy, mid-60s. For Wednesday, scattered thunderstorms, otherwise mostly sunny with a high of 88.
It's 60 at our studios.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
A boy's born in hot damn Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city. His father works some days for 14 hours, and you can bet he barely makes a dollar. His mother goes scrub the floors for many, and you best believe she hardly gets a penny. Living just enough for the city.
Just enough for the city. 24 minutes after 8 o'clock now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Stevie Wonder going back 50 years, 1973 from the Inner Visions album. Man, what a great tune. He was at the top of his game at that time, that's for sure. Hey, several topics we're trying to get to today on the program. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We have 67 degrees in La Crosse right now. Up in Hayward, it is 52 degrees. One thing I wanted to get to here is the fact that Republicans are wanting to defund the police. That's right. Republicans want to defund the FBI. And how important is the FBI? Aren't they the ones who do all the investigating of all the important stuff from a federal standpoint? I got a piece here from USA Today. This says, create havoc. House Republicans want to defund the FBI. A 2024 candidate wants to shut it down. Shut down the FBI. Is that what we should do? Then what'll happen? I think Republicans will take even more advantage of the system than they already are and become even more corrupt, right? If they don't have the FBI looking over their shoulder. This is from USA Today and has a dateline of Washington. It says here the legal troubles surrounding former President Donald Trump and President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, have made the FBI a common target for 2024 Republican presidential candidates and some current members of the House Republicans after the FBI searched Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate for classified documents last year. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, Republican, called to defund the FBI on X, formerly known as Twitter. This position has been reiterated by other members of the House in recent months, including Andy Biggs, Republican from Arizona, Jim Jordan, Republican from Ohio, and Matt Gaetz, Republican from Florida, as federal and state investigations focus on Trump and House Republicans investigate Hunter Biden's business dealings abroad. Some lawmakers have alleged the agency is weaponized against conservatives and have called for the Trump-appointed FBI director, Christopher Wray, to step down. Okay, did you hear what that said? Trump-appointed FBI director, Christopher Wray, a lifelong Republican appointed by Donald Trump, but evidently now he's on the wrong side. This piece goes on and says, on the campaign trail, the 37-year-old biotechnology entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy took the calls a step further and said he would shut down the FBI and replace it with a similar institution. Quote, I think the FBI as an institution should not exist, Ramaswamy told USA Today. I think that is far more practical than it sounds. I do not believe that an institution that entrenched in its culture and way of operating can be reformed. That entrenched in its culture and way of operating can be reformed, end quote. Well, we're going to get to we're going to ask the question, would that be a good idea to defund the FBI or eliminate it altogether? Stick around. Got a quick break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. A mother from Idaho faces up to life in prison, no parole, when she's sentenced today in the murders of her 16-year-old daughter and 7-year-old son. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti from St. Anthony.
There is the possibility that Lori Vallow-Daybell herself will address family and the court today, though at this point, it's still unclear.
Republican presidential candidates are struggling to get attention as former President Trump remains in the spotlight in the federal documents case. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in New Hampshire.
You're not going to be able to bring the administrative state to heel, to slay the deep state, to do all this if you have distractions.
The World Health Organization faulting countries for not doing more to stop the tobacco epidemic. CBS's Alexander Tin has the details.
Only a handful of countries in this region, including the United States, have yet to implement nationwide indoor smoking bans.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You
for
have the control.
For 105.7 WCFW and the Tap FM 93.5, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. No one is hurt after a house fire in Chippewa Falls on Saturday. The Chippewa Falls Fire Department said that a cat and a dog were rescued from the fire, but no people were hurt. The fire caused about $75,000 in damage and likely started in the kitchen, with fire damage kept to the first floor of the home on the 800 block of Dover Street. The fire department said that the fire is under investigation. One person is dead after a crash in Rusk County on Friday. The sheriff's office said the crash happened on Highway 40 near Hutchinson Road in the town of Big Bend, or about 6 miles southwest of Bruce. The crash involved a pickup truck and a semi-truck, with the pickup truck driver found dead at the scene. The semi-truck driver was treated for injuries and released. The crash is being investigated. The National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says today will be pleasant, with temperatures getting to around 80 degrees. We'll warm up by midweek when storm chances return. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
And Thursday's all so sad.
Saturday I go out to play. Church, and I fall on my knees and pray. I say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. I said, Lord, Lord, have mercy.
Ooh, yeah. That's what
Lord,
I'm talking about. The late, great B.B. King on a Monday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 8:35 right now. And temperature in Eau Claire, 59 degrees. And in Amory, 63 degrees. And just before the break, we were discussing the FBI, the fact that many Republicans are calling for the end of the FBI, for defunding the FBI, and for its dissolution. What would we replace it with? Well, we were discussing this article in USA Today that was just posted today about Republicans calling for defunding the FBI. And so what do you think would happen if lawmakers defunded or shut down the FBI? Well, according to this article in USA Today, the FBI is a federal agency primarily funded by Congress, which reviews the FBI's budget appropriations, programs, and selected investigations. Defunding it would mean many resources for law enforcement would likely be missed, according to David Super, a constitutional law expert at Georgetown University. The FBI has the resources to compete toe-to-toe with sophisticated adversaries such as drug cartels, other organized crime, and the intelligence services of foreign countries wanting to spy on the United States, he said. Quote, these functions could be moved to other agencies. Depending on how that is done, the loss in effectiveness might be dramatic or relatively modest, Super said. John Meyer, a partner at the law firm Thompson Hine, highlighted that the FBI assists short-staffed state and county law enforcement in instances such as child kidnappings, where every minute counts. If the FBI was defunded, these resources would not exist and communities would not be as safe, she said. Defunding the FBI could also lead to its shutdown, Niyama Ramani, a former federal prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney's Office, told USA Today. While law enforcement functions are undertaken by other agencies, such as various parts of the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of the Treasury, those agencies tend to be very specialized, Jonathan Enton, a law professor at Case Western Reserve, said. If the FBI were defunded, the federal government would likely need to replace it with some other general law enforcement operation, he said. A shutdown of the agency would put a lot of people out of work, and this is a quote here, put a lot of people out of work, create havoc with numerous ongoing investigations, and impede countless state criminal investigations that count on FBI investigative resources and expertise, according to Mark Scholl, who served as a criminal prosecutor in New York. During a hearing 2 weeks ago, Ray, head of FBI, director of the FBI, was asked what would happen if the FBI was defunded or dismantled. He said there would be violent criminals out on the street, more violent gangs terrorizing communities, more child predators on the loose, threats from the Chinese Communist Party being unaddressed, and other outcomes. So is it even possible to shut down the FBI? Or how about replace it? Well, shutting down the FBI is perfectly constitutional, Scholl said. While the Constitution's preamble states one of its purposes is to promote the general welfare, the Constitution does not require specifically an FBI or even any federal criminal investigative agency, according to Scholl. Instead, it leaves the details of federal departments and agencies to Congress, which gets to create them, Enten said. It is theoretically possible for Congress to create a different agency with the FBI's authority or to change the authority of the current FBI as to what crimes it may investigate and authorize funding, Scholl said. Here's a quote. For example, Congress could try to enact laws that deny the FBI authority to investigate tax crimes or weapons crimes or drug crimes, just as Congress could try to repeal crimes that it believes should not expose people to criminal consequences, Scholl said. But passing such legislation would be dependent on what party controls both the House and the Senate. Shutting down a federal agency is not unprecedented, according to Super. Congress has closed federal agencies, such as the Civil Aeronautics Board, on numerous occasions, and reorganized the government on others, such as creating the Department of Homeland Security from units that were in several existing cabinet departments. So is it feasible to replace the FBI with another agency? Well, Meyer said that it would not be feasible to replace the FBI, noting that it would most likely create chaos and criminal elements could take advantage of that gap. Here's a quote. It says, over 37,000 employees with thousands of pending cases. They could set up FBI 2, but it would take years to restaff, and the cases would need immediate attention and qualified staff to handle. That would create quite a problem. And it is why this talk of defunding the FBI is so much bluster, end quote. Stephen Smith, who is a political science professor at the Washington University in St. Louis, agreed, noting that a replacement agency, quote, would have to absorb most of the employees, office spaces, and labs of the FBI. There would be no alternative. It would take many years, perhaps decades, to replace the law enforcement infrastructure and expertise of the FBI if a new agency started from scratch. Moreover, there would be considerable disruption of state and local law enforcement, which relies on FBI information systems, labs, and other assets, end quote. So, wrapping up this piece from USA Today, if an individual defunds the FBI, ICE, or a local police department and tries to start hiring a new staff, they will rapidly find that most of the people with the skills and expertise needed who are available to be hired are the ones that were just laid off from the agency that was shut down. Super said, quote, they think a new agency that could hire staff afresh would solve that problem. I am skeptical, end quote. That's the end of that article. Many Republicans now calling for defunding the FBI or eliminating it altogether. What do you think? You have an opinion on that? If you do, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. We've got 8:43 and a half right now, and I wanted to get to this other story I mentioned at the beginning of the program. There's a new bill in Madison that would preserve a 137-year-old farm training program that was cut from the state budget. Now, who do you think cut it? Which party? You have any guesses? This was posted a couple days ago at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says here that lawmakers are considering a bipartisan bill to aid the return of the University of Wisconsin System's 137-year-old agricultural training program after funding was left out of the state budget. The bill would provide $372,980 over the next 2 years for the farm and industry short course, which provides instruction for farmers outside of a traditional degree program. A program will now be hosted at UW River Falls after UW Madison stopped offering the residential program 2 years ago. Quote, this program is crucial to our agricultural industry to develop the workforce for the next generation of agricultural leaders and entrepreneurs, said Senator Joan Bowieg, a Republican from Markesan, an author of the bill and a member of the Joint Finance Committee, which writes the state budget. UW River Falls testified the funding would help pay for the operational and instructional costs of hosting the program on campus, as faculty already teach a full schedule to four-year students. Democratic Governor Tony Evers had recommended even more funding for the program in his budget proposal. He wanted $700,000 over the next 2 years, almost twice as much money. But the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee did not include funding for the program in the state budget, so they wiped it out altogether. UW River Falls' short course program is targeted toward high school graduates who are interested in dairy farm operations. The course will return in October with 24 students who will live on campus for 16 weeks and earn up to 20 college credits. Here's a quote. It says here, today's farms and agricultural businesses need workforce training in the latest technologies, taught by faculty who are also agricultural scientists, well-versed in state-of-the-art research and discoveries. That's from Michael Orth, Dean of the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences at UW River Falls. And Mr. Orth said that during a hearing on the legislation on Thursday. Senator Brad Pfaff, Democrat from Onalaska, a co-author of the bill, noted that UW Madison told the committee last year that enrollment in the short course program was declining. Steve Kelm, director of the program at UW River Falls, said it was important to continue serving students for whom attending a four-year or technical college is not the best option. The short course first started at UW Madison in 1885, when students, 20 students from rural parts of the state, came to campus in winter to attend lectures on practical subjects like livestock, farm crops, road making, and tillage. Agriculture in Wisconsin, important stuff. 8:47 right now. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Kareem Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for sunshine and a high near 83. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 59. Mostly sunny with a high of 86 on Tuesday. For Tuesday night, slight chance of a shower, otherwise mostly cloudy, mid-60s. For Wednesday, scattered thunderstorms, otherwise mostly sunny with a high of 88.
It's 60 at our studios.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
I'm trying to tell you something about my life. Maybe give me insight between black and white. And the best thing you ever done for me used to help me take my life less seriously. It's only life after all. Yeah. Well, darkness has a hunger that's insatiable, and lightness has a call that's hard to hear. And I wrap my fear around me like a blanket. I sail my ship of safety till I sank it. I'm crawling on your shores. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains. I looked to the children, I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am to find, yeah. And I went to see the doctor of philosophy with a poster of Rasputin.
All right, now we're getting somewhere. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 8:51 right now, almost 8:52. And if you've gone to see the Barbie movie, you might recognize that song as a song that has a pretty important role in the movie. I don't want to give away too much of the movie, that's for sure, because there are a lot of surprises in it. But I did go see the Barbie movie over the weekend, and I would just want to give you three things about this. Okay, first of all, that movie is super entertaining. It's funny, it's clever, and it's just plain fun to watch, okay? It's the most fun I've had at a movie theater in quite a while. The second thing I want to mention is that it's not for kids. It's not a kids movie. If I had young kids, I would say they should be at least 13 years old to see that movie, if not 14 or 15. But there is a lot of, there are a few, kind of off-color jokes. And for adults, it's pretty funny. But I don't know if I would want my 11-year-old daughter, if I had one, to be hearing all that stuff. So it's not exactly a movie for kids, even though it's about a kid's toy. Also, the last thing I want to mention is that it's not offensive. It's not offensive for anyone, no matter what your political persuasions. It seems like some people, political types, are getting all worked up about this Barbie movie. It's some kind of some kind of indoctrination, trying to teach your little girls how to be something. I don't know. Seems like their explanation of this movie changes depending on who you talk or who you hear and what they're talking about. But anyway, it's definitely worth seeing. It's not a kid's movie. It's not offensive. And it's a movie that I would recommend going to see. If my friend asked me, should I go see that Barbie movie? I would say, yeah, go ahead. It's time well spent on a Saturday night when you feel like just kind of checking out of your own reality for a couple hours. It's pretty funny. And by the way, it is breaking records, getting people to come back to the movie theater. And I think that's a good thing, right? Movies, or I should say theaters, movie theaters have been having a difficult time for a few years now, ever since the pandemic hit. And even before that, with all of the new options like streaming and all of the other entertainment options we have these days. I have a piece here from The Independent says here that the Barbie bonanza continues at the box office as this Greta Gerwig film keeps breaking records. Greta Gerwig's Barbie has continued to make at least $20 million every day since it was released. And this was just posted a couple of hours ago at The Independent. It says here that Barbie has gone from strength to strength as Greta Gerwig's film continues to dominate the United States box office in its second weekend. It was released on Friday, July 21st, alongside Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer. And Barbie has held up unusually strongly in cinemas 1 week after it was released. Some statistics here. It says the comedy, which stars Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling as Barbie and Ken, took in a massive $93 million in its second weekend, according to studio estimates. On Sunday, yesterday, Barbie has seen remarkably sustained business following its year-best $162 million opening, with ticket sales dipped only 43% in its second week. The film has also outpaced Nolan's 2008 superhero film, The Dark Knight, to notch the best first 2 weeks in cinemas of any Warner Brothers release. All right, so it's a fun movie. I might even consider going to see it a second time because you can't always catch everything the first time. But if you want to laugh for a couple of hours and see something funny and just kind of check out of reality, I would recommend it. We got 8:56 right now. Going to take a top of the hour break for news. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show. With a poster of Rasputin and a beer down to his knee. He never did marry or see a big great movie. He graded my performance. He said he could see through me. I spent 4 years prostrate to the higher mind. Got my paper and I was free. I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find. Closer I. Twice as cloudy as I've been the night before. And I went in seeking clarity. I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountain. Then we go to the doctor. We go to the mountains. We look to the children. We drink from the fountain. Yeah, we go to the Bible. We go. Line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, closer I am to find, closer I am to find, yeah.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendricks Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen.